It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. The Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors recently held its multi-day workshop, an event where goals and priorities for the new year are discussed, collectively worked on by the board. And we're going to receive an update from the board chair of the supervisors, David Goldenberg. Supervisor Goldenberg, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, BJ. I appreciate the opportunity to come in and share the information.
So first off, you know, where was the location of this workshop and what was kind of the format for the event?
So the location was, and we had used it before, was out at the Tuolumne Resiliency Center there, one of the two new ones, one in Groveland and one in Tuolumne. And a really nice facility, you know, plenty of room, and you can have breakout rooms. And generally, we did a little bit different this year in that instead of rotating between a lot of, well, let's call them stations, different groups or different department heads, you know, to share information. We kept everybody together this year, and it actually worked out a lot smoother because we could communicate easily that way.
So what are kind of the benefits of doing this type of event yearly?
So what it does is it helps us, you know, for planning, and I'm a, you know, big proponent on planning. It's really important. And so you look at planning in a couple of different ways. You look at it as, you know, more you can have immediate or short-term. And then the long term. So actually, it's kind of like three different, you know, levels. But, you know, having that planning is critical. So putting out your goals and your priorities and spreading them over, a finite period of time, you know what you've got to work with.
Having five supervisors with five probably different priorities and directions you may want to go, kind of getting on the same page, is that part of it as well?
Yeah, so it was interesting. You know, last year we weren't limited. Not last year, but in 2022, the last time we did this, we weren't limited as supervisors in how many ideas to submit. And so we ended up with a pretty large number. So this time we were asked to submit three each. And I thought, well, okay, we're going to meet up on a number of those and it'll make it easier going. As it turns out, five supervisors each had three, and almost all of them were different. So it made it a little more challenging to try to work through stuff.
And this meeting was open to the public as well, if people wanted to come?
Absolutely. There was a few people from the public, and a couple of city council people from Sonora City came by for a while as well.
So what were kind of some of the goals and priorities that came from this meeting then?
So what we did was we went through and we got an update on all the priorities that we did in the last go around. And there was quite a number of them. And we didn't... We did very well. We got a lot accomplished, but probably in the neighborhood of about half of them were accomplished. And so over a period of time, anytime you're looking at goals, you want to review what you had, see if you need to continue anything from that group into the new planning.
So what were some of the highlights from the last go around then?
Yeah, so, you know, the two biggest ones were fire protection, the issues there. Whether it be staffing levels or whether it be, you know, how to protect the county better, you know, from wildfires, you know, encroaching upon a city or a subdivision, and roads, you know, those two areas are always going to be high up on the county's priorities.
Were there a couple that stand out that you wish you would have been able to address that didn't happen?
No, not really. I think, you know, staff did a remarkably good job. They had to interpret, you know, what the board handed them, you know, a pretty good number of, you know, items, and they flushed them out, and they did well, and they gave us reports, you know, as we went along. And some of them, you know, now we just looked at and we said, well, that one's really no longer applicable. You know, it's been solved, so there's no reason to, you know, continue or something changed.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned there are nine priorities. Can you break those down for us?
Yeah, so the nine priorities were... You know, number one was, and these are not in order of priority, okay, so these are nine goals and priorities. We're still going to do some massaging on the priorities, but the nine items, let's call it, we're looking to see if there's a way to site a USDA meat processing plant in the county. We want to give some increased software capabilities that, you know, would allow us, you know, for people to communicate with the government better, and I can go into those in more detail, you know, after broadband, housing, relocating the current sheriff's 911 dispatching office there in the Hertz here. We want to look, take a fresh look at our parks, whether it be Standard Park or other parks, and look at creation of trails. Infrastructure, which would include roads and facilities. You know, a huge one is, too, is looking at revenue sources, right? You know, we're constantly up against that, you know, block where we don't have enough money to, you know, satisfy all the needs. And then the fire operations, you know, is huge. That rounds out the nine.
Yes, a lot of topics to get in there, too. You mentioned that first one, USDA meat processing facility. Can you explain a little bit about what that would entail and kind of what the county's role could potentially be to attract that?
Yeah, so right now we're in some discussions, and I'm not part of the group that's doing it. Supervisor Half is, but they've been meeting with multi-counties, several counties around, you know, similar to, you know, what's been done with Area 12 and ATCA, where you have multiple counties, you know, working on efforts. And, you know, looking to, you know, sort out funding and sort out approval, you know, to have a facility located here, which would give, you know, there's still, you know, maybe agriculture may have, you know, slowed down a little bit in the county, but they're still very active. And there's a lot of beef being raised. There's people doing pigs and goats and other items. And, you know, right now they have to take them a long ways if they want to have them, you know, certified to be able to sell.
Could you say, I mean, will the county be directly involved, or would it be something just kind of the county helping the process?
This would be to do a business plan, essentially, and look, you know, to reach out to somebody, probably, you know, I imagine it would be through an RFP process where you request information and, you know, somebody to take it on, you know, as a business. You know, just the county's just trying to, you know, help facilitate making that happen.
And then mobile software applications, what are kind of the nuts and bolts of that issue?
So one of them that started with is, you know, let's say you're driving down the road and there's a rather nasty pothole. Maybe it's new, maybe it's not, but you want to report it. And so it's pretty difficult, you know, if you get on the phone or you're trying to email and say just where it is. So this would be something where they could actually geolocate you and you could stop and take a picture of it and go online real quick and send it, you know, right to Public Works. So that, and it could be other road hazards, you know, a washout, a tree down, something that's, you know, more definitive, interactive. And we do look to see in the future, you know, anytime you have a large group of people that, you know, want to share information, and it's, you know, commonly called crowdsourcing, you want to be able to take a bill, look at the available technology to be able to do that. And AI is a new upcoming thing. It can be very good, and it also, unfortunately, can be evil.
So keeping a close eye on the pros and cons of that new coming
wave
of technology.
Yeah, I mean, you want to protect. If you're having people come on the county system, you need to assure that there's going to be protections that, you know, somebody doesn't come on and damage, you know, things within the, you know, the whole network.
We're going to get into more details regarding the goals and priorities for the Board of Supervisors for 2024. We're joined by the Board Chair, David Goldenberg, who represents District 1 on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We need to take a quick break. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we're going to be joined by some guests from the Tuolumne County Chamber of Commerce. They're kind of revamping some of their offerings with the Chamber, and we're going to be joined by the new CEO as well as a couple of the Board of Directors. That's next week on Motherlode Views. Our second segment with Supervisor Goldenberg is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with the board chair for 2024 of the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors, David Goldenberg. The county supervisors recently had a multi-day workshop to identify priorities for the new year. We're going through many of those on this weekend show with the board chair. Supervisor Goldenberg, next thing on the list of those nine that you had mentioned was broadband. What is kind of on the horizon for broadband?
So broadband, there's a tremendous amount of funding that's been made available both on the federal level as well as the state level. And we want to continue the efforts to expand service into areas that are either underserved or unserved entirely. And so that takes, that's where it gets more expensive, you know, to bring it out. Because if you get into a rural area, there might be only a small amount of homes, but they might have to lay several miles of line or something to get there. It's absolute priority that we have to have better broadband. It's for any businesses that we may want to, you know, look at, you know, wanting to relocate here. There is going to be a requirement for them. For students, for homeowners and people, you and I, you know, if, I mean, you want to check, see what's going on, restaurants, movies or whatever, you know, we're used to that. But there's quite a few people in the county that still don't have that the ability to do that. So,
are you still waiting to find out how much funding is going to come for broadband?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously a little bit of concern right now with what we're seeing at the state level as far as the budget, you know, overall the deficit on the state side, the shortfall. I did hear just a day or two ago, I saw something that suggested that the state was, the governor was going to continue with, I think it was $1.5 billion this next fiscal year. Now, that's subject to the approval of the legislature, you know, by the time it gets to June. We'll see if it's still there or not.
And then the next item on the list is housing. That's a big topic in Tuolumne County, the need for additional housing. You know, what are the supervisors looking at with that particular topic?
Yeah, so housing, so many things, you know, come back to housing. What we've got, one area that we have a distinct lack of is just, you know, more affordable housing. You know, when average home price, I think, in the county is running somewhere a little bit north of $350,000, there's not a lot of people with the jobs that they have here to be able to afford even what's an average, you know, cost home. We need housing for our workers, you know, workforce housing. And yes, you know, we're looking at the efforts that are ongoing for to see what we can do for homeless housing as well. You know, it's the same problem that we've, you know, been dealing with in the county for some time now. Roughly 80% of the lands in Tuolumne County is federal lands. So Forest Service, Park Service, you know, Yosemite, BLM, Bureau of Reclamation. So it doesn't leave a lot of room for development in the county. So a lot of areas have been developed. The ones that aren't are steeper, so they're more difficult and more expensive to develop. But the area that, you know, looks prime, it would be from Jamestown to the west. But we've got issues that have to be resolved first in that area. One is we want to make sure we have enough water. And two, they need, you know, service for sewer system as well.
Yeah, big issue with lots of different aspects with housing. You know, next on the list, you had relocating sheriff's dispatch and admin from their current facility. We have the very nice new county jail on the Law and Justice Center property. Many or some may not realize that admin and dispatch are still at the old site downtown, right?
Correct. And you know, I'm not sure why when they priced out the new jail, they didn't, you know, make that a component of it. But that said, you know, we're still left with, What are we going to do? Because the facility that they're in, there was a reason that they wanted a new jail. It's an older facility, and it's got, you know, problems. They've been having, you know, leaks and other issues, including, you know, by the dispatch center. And so it and the dispatch center is really small. I used to manage a 911 dispatch center for Cal Fire as a battalion chief for a couple of years. And you need proper space, you know, for the people to work in and, you know, storage and everything else. So, you know, we're looking to see what we can do. New construction, you know, is always very expensive these days. But you can't just take any building and use it for a dispatch center. It's got to be, you know, rated, you know, for emergency services for that type of application.
So no specific location has been identified
No,
yet.
You know, we've explored, you know, several areas, but we're not coming up with one that, you know, really seems to fit the need. I did have a meeting, you know, with the city of Sonora over, it was, I think the topic of discussion came up at our fire safety advisory committee meeting about the possibility that we could even look at doing an interagency dispatch center. So join Sonora and the county, you know, but that would be a future thing.
You know, next on the list was an update to the Parks Master Plan. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, we've got to, you know, Eric Aiken, our Parks and Rec director, is doing a really good job. And he's got a lot of stuff that he's got to take care of. And so we haven't updated, you know, I think there's a plan that's, you know, quite a number of years old. And so we need to update that, make sure we've got all county areas, whether they be trails or parks, and, you know, see where we're at. You know, obviously out at Standard, we've got the whole new project that's going in out there. And I haven't driven out there in a couple of weeks, but, you know, they're getting ready other than dealing with a lot of water. So it we just want to, you know, parks are something that the community thrives on, and they want them, and they want them well-maintained. And so that's what we're trying to do, is ensure that we can do that.
Number 7th on the list that you read off was infrastructure. I know that could go several different directions when you're talking about infrastructure of the county, but what are kind of the areas that the county's focusing on?
Well, you know, obviously the roads is a huge issue still. You know, we're sitting at right at 610 miles of county-maintained roads. And that's a lot to maintain, and we've not enough money was available to put in, you know, for the roads over time. So it was kind of piecemeal, and so the deterioration kept happening, which is really unfortunate, because had they been maintained a little bit better to begin with, we wouldn't be faced with so much damage now, because it's a lot more cost effective to do things like chip sealing. And I know that's a pretty negative word right now with what happened out on Tuolumne Road, but chip seals have been very effective in many areas, and they're at about a quarter of the price of doing a whole new repaving. So the roads is one. Facilities, you know, like the jail, we need to look at that. And any new emerging things, you know, electric vehicle charging stations, you know, something that the county's probably going to get driven towards, you know. Some of that's going to come in the form of mandates, you know, from the state or federal government, you know, but there's some controversy there. But, you know, City of Sonora, you know, I just saw that they have a new one going in on Stockton Road. Tesla apparently is doing, so that's good. We got a lot of tourists, you know, that are coming up here. You know, any given day you can count the number of Teslas, you know, driving by.
How do you address that issue of chip sealing? As you mentioned, after Tuolumne Road, you probably get some pushback if you hear chip sealing in the future. How do you look at that issue moving forward?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. You know, I have not heard, you know, what they've determined was the root cause of what happened on Tuolumne Road, other than there was some discussion that perhaps, you know, the adhesiveness, you know, just wasn't good. People were, you know, talking about the mix. We had not paid that contractor, and they're held to a year's guarantee on their work, so that was still ongoing. But it did affect a lot of people really negatively in the county. It's a highly traveled road. They did chip seal Lions Bowl Mountain Road, you know, as well, about 4 miles. It's had a couple of minor issues, but it's night and day difference, and it's got a pretty steep hill, you know, there that they've got to go through.
You know, next one that was on the list of priorities was exploring potential local revenue sources. What is the county looking at there?
Well, you know, there is not enough money coming in to meet all of the needs, especially in emergency services. So we took a lot of time and worked on the sheriff's office in particular, you know, for recruitment and retention. But, you know, that comes at a price. And so, you know, we looked at, the county had tried to do a sales tax measure. I think it's been 2 years ago now. That one was being put out as a special tax, and it didn't even make the 50% margin. But I really liked the formula that was there, where we were stating out, you know, that it would be 40% to fire, 40% to law enforcement, and 20% for roads. And so I think that that's a good way to go. Over the last year, there's been some involvement, a group of people, local people, citizens, that were looking at perhaps taking on the effort and bringing a sales tax measure up. But I just learned recently, within the last couple of weeks, that they've decided they cannot handle, you know, managing, you know, that campaign, you know, to to ATSOR sales tax measures. So I'm not sure where we're going to go at this point as a county. It's going to be a subject for discussion with the board soon, though.
Something we'll definitely keep an eye on, especially over the coming weeks, months, and over the next year. We need to take one more break. We're talking with Supervisor David Goldenberg, the board chair, on this weekend's Motherlode Views, getting into a number of priorities that were identified by the county at a recent workshop. That last one is fire protection. We're going to get into that during the final segment. Also, we're going to hear a little bit about National Association of Counties meeting and some of the impacts at the national level that could impact local counties. Supervisor Goldenberg recently attended a meeting in Washington, D.C. on that, so we'll hear about that as well. Our final segment of Motherlode Views is in just a minute. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And you're listening to Motherlode Views. This weekend, we're talking with David Goldenberg, who is the board chair of the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors. He represents District 1. Supervisor Goldenberg, we've been going through the list of priorities that were identified by the Board of Supervisors at a recent multi-day workshop. The one we haven't gotten to yet is sustainable fire operations. So what does that all entail for the county?
Okay, so, we need to, like I mentioned a little bit ago when we were talking in another area, we've done a lot to work on, law enforcement, but fire needs fixing desperately. The big cause, the largest cause is that we really got a lack of volunteers now. When I was a fire captain here in the county, quite a number of years ago, but we had 150 volunteers. Now I believe they have 8. So we've got quite a number of stations that there's no firefighters at all. So our Tuolumne County Fire Department, Chief Murphy, was wonderful in that he applied for what's called a SAFER grant from FEMA. And so that grant is staffing for adequate fire and emergency response. That grant was for $9 million, and that allowed us to staff 3 fire stations. So those 3 stations were at Columbia, which didn't have an active, fire station coverage and had a strong need for one. The other one was Mono Vista. That's the 3rd busiest station in the county, I'm told. And so they need to have, a strong presence there. And then Groveland, looking, towards the future, the Highway 120 corridor, there's large complexes out there already, Evergreen, Rush Creek, and more coming online soon. So that, we staffed up an engine, but it's being housed at Groveland Community Services District. So all of this takes money, right? You can get grants, and hopefully we will get some that will allow us to build fire stations. They can be $6 million or more just to build it, but that's one-time money. What we have a really hard time is for the staffing, because the cost in the neighborhood for a fully staffed fire engine in a station with 3 firefighters on it at all times, you're looking at about $2 million a year. So that whole, section there on the fire operations is really important that we have to figure out, and, that's where we go back to looking at exploring for revenue sources, is how we're going to pay for this. Because that was a 3-year grant that we got, and we're already a little over a year into it, which means we have less than 2 years to come up with a solution to keep firefighters in those 3 stations. The other 2 areas in brief, for fire is that the county put in the vegetation management ordinance a while back, to try to make the county safer. We didn't have the money at the time to hire inspectors, so now we're looking to hire inspectors. And then just the overall education, we got to educate the public so that they understand why the county is really in a bind over fire protection. The cost is very expensive, to provide that service.
So now that you've put together these 9 priorities for the county collectively as 5 members of the Board of Supervisors, are they used to kind of develop future board agendas and topics of discussion?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all out there. You know, it's been discussed, you know, at a board meeting, and so we need to. They're going to take it a little bit further. You know, we've got a county group that's getting together. They're massaging this, and then it's going to result in coming out with essentially what's, you know, an action plan. It'll have a list of items that you know, that they can put down that will hopefully work on all nine items here.
We've got just a few minutes left. I want to definitely ask you about the National Association of Counties meeting that was held in Washington, D.C. I know that you attended that. What can you tell us about kind of the highlights of that event?
Yeah, so it's a, you know, it's important, you know, to have, some people don't understand. They go, why is a county person going to a, you know, a federal, you know, nationwide conference? But, you know, what happens a lot of times is that, you know, we can do ordinance at a local level, the state level. You know, you're getting into bills that are introduced, you know, whether they be in the Assembly or the Senate. But then there's, in many cases, it's something that the state can't resolve or needs assistance from the federal government. So the National Association of Counties, you know, has got, you know, almost every county in the nation. There's some counties that haven't signed up, I guess. But in essence, you know, they get together, listen to, you know, everybody that's attending through a series of committee meetings, and they come up with priorities, and then they transmit those in person as much as possible by going over and talking to the individual legislators or their staff if they're not available, and explaining, you know, what we're looking for and why. The other good thing about these conferences is that you learn things that you weren't quite aware of yet, new upcoming things that are just starting to, you know, be released. So there was one that really interested me was that the county can apparently qualify to get tax credits. So like if you put in solar at your house and you get a whatever percentage credit, the county could never get that before. But through the Inflation Reduction Act, they made that available. So we just found out about that. The other one is FEMA. You know, because sometimes we have an emergency, and the it can take a long time to get, you know, reimbursement from FEMA, and it's never given until you actually get the check. This would be a system where you could go online and you could see the progress of your request. So that would be good for budgetary reasons, because we as a county, you know, we might have to float, you know, pay for a job to get done, and then, you know, we're sincerely hoping that FEMA will come through with the funding, you know, reimbursement.
When you go to these types of meetings, do you notice that a lot of the counties are facing the same issues, or is it just a wide variety of different things that different counties face?
You know, it is a wide variety, you know, because you're looking at, you know, counties that are, you know, extremely urban, you know, millions of people. And that's in California, too, of course, you know, with the California State Association of Counties. So, you know, they're, in many cases, their needs are a little bit different, you know, from the rural ones. One of the challenges that we've had over time is that whether it be at the federal level or whether it be at the state level, is they don't pay adequate attention to the rural counties. You know, they just kind of, they issue funding, they take care of, you know, the more metropolitan areas. Unfortunately, that's where a lot of votes are, right? So, you know, that's politics in a bad way, as far as I'm concerned, because they need to look at, you know, doing things to help people, you know, throughout the state, and rural counties definitely take a hit.
Well, Supervisor Goldenberg, we appreciate the recap of the priorities identified for the coming year, as well as a recap from Washington, D.C. Any closing comments you'd like to make?
No, just looking forward to, you know, this next year. You know, as people are aware, you know, I'm not running for re-election, so, you know, I've got about 10 months left. I'm chair of the board. Got a lot of stuff going on, and I plan on using every bit of that time to, you know, get whatever more that, you know, I can get accomplished, you know, working with the board.
Well, and on that note, we thank Supervisor David Goldenberg for stopping in today. And Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.